Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 87. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Yo.
First of all, we're going to have to give apologies right up front. We won't be getting to our best of the year so far.
We keep saying this, but we end up actually watching some stuff. That fill-in episode keeps getting pushed further and further back.
Yeah, it's like to the point now where we're getting real late on it, but we're gonna do it. We'll get to it. I think next week. I don't think there's like a lot happening. I think we're gonna have like a week breather between this and Suicide Squad and all the other.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say that next week we are doing our best of the year so far. But we saw some newer movies this week, so we have stuff to talk about. So more relevant, I would say. And we're going to start it off. There's some new movies that came out. Some of us made it out to both of them. We both made it out to our first movie of the night, and that is Lights Out.
Yes.
New horror film from, I want to say it's a first-time director.
David Sandberg. He's done like a bunch of shorts, but yeah, he's never done a feature-length film.
Lights Out is I think it's based on a short of the same name.
Yes.
Same kind of concept. It's a fun little horror movie about a lights go out. There's a ghost / demon, whatever, the bad guy thing, whatever it is. That's the concept behind it. It's like this thing could only exist in the dark. So you turn on the lights, you can't see it. Can it attack you in the light? I don't think it can.
Right? No. Once the light comes on, it kind of vanishes.
Yeah, it's like rendered ineffective by the light. So and this movie I think has a lot of fun with that. So basic story is this family is being preyed upon by this thing, and the core family in this is a mother and her young son and an older daughter who doesn't live with them anymore.
Yeah, kind of like the estranged
prodigal
daughter.
Yeah, she's doing drugs and stuff. Whatever. They kind of hint that. You know, they do show a bong in her house.
Okay. I don't remember seeing her actually doing any drugs.
No, that's the thing. It's like, that's as far as they went. And then, like, everyone talks about her like she's, like, this horrible monster.
Some sort of junkie.
Yeah. Which is hilarious because in the movie, she's, like, a really good person, actually. It's kind of weird. But anyway, so it focuses on this family, and the mom is suffering from some sort of undefined mental illness, and inside the house with the mom and the young son, there is that demon / ghost. I don't know what you'd want to call it. I guess I'd call it a ghost that's preying on this family. And, you know, the twist in this movie is that the ghost can only be effective in the dark. You can only see it in the dark, and it can only do anything in the dark. As soon as you turn the lights on and you don't see it, it disappears. Can't do anything.
Yes.
That's basically it. It's pretty short.
It's like 80 minutes long.
Yeah. I don't know. How did you like it, Chris?
It's all right. It was fun.
Yeah. I don't want to oversell this because it's just a fun short horror movie. That said, I think that there is, I think it's pretty inventive with a lot of what it's doing here. Like, it really kind of, I think, leans into its central gimmick of the whole light thing.
Yeah.
Like, just really, first of all, really, like, good use of just lighting in the movie, which is, you know, a huge part of cinematography. And just a really inventive use of that to have fun with the ghost. Like, we're doing all sorts of things with turning on and off lights. There's a big one that stands out to me that I don't even know if I want to say it here because it's almost like a spoiler. It's I guess I'll talk around it a little bit. The key fob part. Do you remember that? If you like hit the unlock button on your
key. Yes. That's a great scene.
Okay, that part got, like, applause from the crowd I was with, which was a pretty packed theater on a Saturday night, and everyone just went apeshit for it. Like, for real, everyone just started clapping. I was like, that's cool. I haven't seen that in the theater in a while. Like, nobody clapped even at Star Wars when I went, which is kind of depressing. Anyways, so that's my thoughts on it. Like, I think it's a fun little horror movie, and it has, I think, some really creative use of the light stuff. Also, I thought that it had more of a story regarding the family than I expected.
For something so short, yeah. Like, it actually, there's actually a pretty decently told, you know, tie to everything.
Like, you get to know who this family is and why, like, why the daughter's kind of distant, what's wrong with the mother, you know, what was going on with the dad before he gets killed in the opening scene, spoiler. And then you get, you know, like a far past background that helps explain the ghost. Like, you get a lot more explanation and story than I thought you'd get.
And it does it quickly. Like, it doesn't ever dwell on that stuff. So it really is about kind of like the monster, the ghost or whatever. But there's enough there that it's like, yeah, okay. Now I kind of get it. Now I understand what's going on. Now I understand the motivations and why the mother is doing what she's doing and why the ghost is attracted to this family. And there's other movies like this that would spend like a half hour trying to like tell you all that information. And this very quick.
It's very efficient with its storytelling in that regard. And it was just more of it than I expected. The movie has a little bit of a heart at its center about the family, and kind of, well, we'll talk about it, I guess, a little bit further on here. But that's my thoughts on it. I don't know about you. I mean, how did you feel about it? Like, do you feel stronger about the movie than me? Because, like, I'm not like blown away by it.
No, I liked it. I think I probably would have liked it more maybe if I saw it with an audience like you did.
Yeah, we gotta get into that.
My audience was dead, so, like, I just kind of took it at what it was. Like, I could have probably gotten the same experience by watching it on my television at home. Like, my theater was that dead, so.
Okay, so, all right, we gotta get into this, because this is a huge part of my experience for me with this movie. That's kind of why I love it more than it even deserves. When did you go see it, Chris? Like,
I saw it at 1 o'clock on a Friday, so early. Okay. People are still in work. The kids haven't gone out for their, you know, weekend movie seeing. Like, it's, yeah, I saw it early afternoon on the day it came out. I think if I had gone later, like to like an 8 or 9 o'clock show, there would have been more people, and those people would have been younger and probably more receptive, more engaged in, like, you know, acting out at a movie theater.
Dude, all right. So, like you, I typically go to see movies. One, I want that matinee pricing. So,
yeah,
you're talking
like that,
4:30 or earlier. You get the $5.75 or whatever it is. So I tend to go on like Monday, or I'm sorry, I tend to go on Sunday at like 1. You know what I mean? Or like some day that I have off during the week, because I have different days off all the time. For horror movies especially, I'm going to stop doing that, because I went and saw this on a Saturday night at exactly 7 p.m. and I have not had a theater experience like that in like probably 20 years. Like, it was such a blast.
Yeah, what you were describing was kind of like the last time I had been on a horror movie experience like that was probably like Halloween 6.
Yeah, which, like, is, that's 20 years ago,
yeah,
now. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Did you go with somebody? Did you go with your girlfriend? Or
I was going to go with my girlfriend. She ended up not going, so it was just me. But oh my God, I had such a fun time. Like, all right, there's a lady like 3 rows behind me that every time like someone was alone walking through the dark, she'd be like, "Oh no, that guy's toast!" Like, real loud, and everyone would start laughing. There was a really good jump scare where this kid gets pulled under like a bed or whatever, something like that. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was just like super loud. It was like, "Ugh!" And the whole theater started just screaming and laughing. I had like a guy that was like right behind me, kind of commenting on the movie too. Like, "Oh no, these people are stupid," or whatever. And just everyone kind of like laughing and screaming at the whole thing. And, and when anytime someone would say, like, like that one lady would say, "He's toast," everyone would just start laughing.
Yeah, there's like a there's that communal viewing
Yes.
experience, and it is fun. Like, it's something for most movies I don't want that, but for a horror film it can be a blast. And yeah, I think it would have made me appreciate the movie a little bit more if like the audience was more engaged in it. Otherwise, I was just left there. It's still a good movie,
Yeah.
but like my experience was not like the fun roller coaster theme park ride type thing that
Yeah.
you had. And but yeah, I still liked it.
Yeah, but you're still sitting there because it's so quiet. You're kind of just coldly judging it, like you
Right.
said, like you would watching it at home. Like this was like, I was enjoying feeding off the crowd as much as the actual film. Like, and it got an applause at this key fob part, which I already mentioned, which I'm trying not to spoil. Hopefully, I didn't spoil it for anybody. And then I got applause again at the end. I was like, wow, dude! Like, I haven't seen a movie that got two rounds of applause that I can remember ever. And I'm not saying this movie's amazing or anything. I'm just saying it was the right crowd for this movie. It was
Yeah.
great. Like, the movie totally worked on them. They're scared by it. They're like, "Oh, hell no. I heard this guy behind me. Oh, no. Oh, no." Like, I'm just like, I'm like a veteran horror guy going, "All right, this is cool." So anyways, that was great. I guess, I mean, I don't want to spoil it. I feel like we've said more than enough.
Yeah, I think we've covered pretty much most of it.
Except one thing,
Okay.
the ending, like how did you feel about it? No spoilers, but how did you feel? Like, it felt abrupt to me. Like, it felt like it was not earning what it was trying to do.
Yeah, it was almost like, we don't know how to end this, so boom. Now it's
Yeah,
over.
well, I think that it was a smart, like, it's a cool ending, but like maybe the scene was too quick. I don't know. Like, it didn't hit me emotionally like I thought it would. I was just like, whoa, that was quick. Like,
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if stretching that out would have been better or what, or if it was trying to be more emotional than the movie had
Well,
earned. I don't
yeah,
know.
I think for all the brevity that we've praised about it, we don't get that. I don't know if the audience gets that time to turn with Rebecca, the daughter.
I think that's it. I think you hit on it there. It's like you don't have the time for the meaning of what's happening to sink in, or
Right.
the
Like
gravity of what's happening.
she never stopped caring about her mom, and I think we get that, but we've only been really experiencing Sophie as this kind of cold, distant, almost like an addict in a way, and we don't have the time to kind of like turn on, the ending and how it happens and why it happens and the implications of what she did there, so.
I do think it's a clever, like, way to like confront what's going on or whatever. Like, I thought, like, oh yeah, that's one way to do it, I guess, But it's so like ham-fisted, or I don't know. Like, it's I don't know. It struck me as something kind of off about how they pulled it off, but I do like the idea of that ending. I'll leave it
Sure.
at that.
Yeah.
What's your rating on this one, Chris?
I'm gonna go 3.
Okay.
I liked it, and I would probably watch it again if it was like. I would probably watch it again with people. Like,
Yeah.
if like some friends came over and like, oh, we want to watch a horror film or something, I might pop that on.
Yeah.
Like, and it's. I don't know if I would show it to my kids, but like as if they get older and like,
It's
hey, let's watch a
borderline.
scary movie, like. Like, well, it's PG-13, so
Yeah.
it's not, there's really not anything super,
No, I did not find it scary.
yeah, well, it's not super scary, it's not, I mean, there's not really anything, like, too adult in it, it's just a good ghost tale, so.
Yeah. And it's fun and inventive. I mean, I kind of wrestle with my rating. I'm going to go with a 4, just because if I said it was a 3, I would be sitting here going, "It's a very strong 3, though." So I'm just going to give it a 4. Like, it's fun. It's definitely, and like you said, like, When it comes out, I will at least get it off of Netflix to show my girlfriend, even though she does not like horror movies. Like, I think she'd be fine with it. Like, it's fun and goofy and whatever. I mean, it's a good movie. Like, for first effort, I'm gonna, it's no It Follows if you ask me, but it's pretty fun and
Yeah,
pretty like
it's
promising.
a fun, like a lot of the scares are jump scares, but they're good, they're fun, like they're not overly cheap. It's just it's a well-made horror film, well-made kind of jumpy horror film. So
There's, I guess, one more thing that just popped in my head. I really like the more I think about it. There is one shot where there's like a doorway behind, I want to say it's
okay.
Becca or the mom, one of the two. And it's kind of like, I would say it's an homage to Halloween, like the part like where Jamie Lee Curtis is standing in the doorway and you slowly see the shape materialize behind
Right.
her. You know what I'm talking about? We see the hand. Yeah, I feel like the more I think about it, I love it. But
Yeah,
yeah.
no, I think it's the mom, and she's talking
Yeah.
to the son. She might have been talking to Rebecca.
Okay.
Might have been when she hands her the note.
Okay. Oh, no.
I
I
think
don't know.
it might have been the kid then, like.
There's another one after that, where after the note, that like is
Okay.
just the thing where like the cops are going through the house and shit's going batshit crazy. Which that part
That
was
one's
really
fun,
fun too.
yeah.
It's really fun. Like the last 20 minutes are super fun.
Well, yeah, we're like that's, and we're gonna move off of this
Yeah.
quickly, but that was something like, I mean, I knew that it was a short movie, and we're coming up on what you know is the conclusion to this film.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the trailer had cops. Like, where the hell are the cops at? Like that's not even going to be in this movie. That trailer was bullshit. And then they fit all that in the last like 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. It was a fun climax.
Yeah.
I just wish they handled the peak of that climax somehow better, but regardless, it's a fun one. I mean, if it's still in theaters by you, if you're listening to this, I'd say check it out,
It should
but
be. It did. Did very well.
yes, it actually did, didn't it?
It ended up in third place, beating out Ice Age 17 or whatever. It actually out earned Ghostbusters as well.
Wow.
So yeah, it did pretty good.
Yeah, and yeah. Like there was the theater I saw it in was packed, so I'm not 100% surprised by that. It's good. It's good news. There was a bigger movie though that came out and
There was the movie that it hit number one, so
yeah, and we would have started with that, but we had both seen Lights Out, so I figured we'd start talking about it.
yeah.
But
So I went and saw Star Trek Beyond. The last two Star Trek, this is like the reboot Star Trek. The last two had been directed by J.J. Abrams. This one was directed by Justin Lin, who people probably would know as the director of the Fast and Furious from like 3 through 6. Actually, did he? I'm not sure if he directed all the way through that, but he's yeah, he did. He 3 through 6. So he's that guy, the guy that turned the Fast and Furious series around into like this super huge blockbuster. And he was tapped to do a Star Trek Beyond. This third Star Trek movie, with Chris Pine as Captain Kirk, and that whole new cast: Zachary Quinto, Carl Urban, Simon Pegg, Anton Yelchin. I really like this cast. I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, but I really like this cast, and this movie is pretty good. It's fun. Like, if you enjoy kind of like Star Trek, Star Wars type sci-fi, this is a good sci-fi action movie. It's a little more Star Trekky than the previous two.
More Star Trekky?
Yeah.
I had heard it, this was going like the opposite direction, being more of just a popcorn like action movie or whatever.
See, like I think like there's a lot of like there's a lot of like talk of directives and exploration and they're building stuff, and it's. I thought the last two were definitely more kind of Star Warsy. This has like the big budget, kind of action that you expect from a big summer blockbuster, but I definitely think it's more grounded than the previous two. It's also, I've heard this term thrown around, it's very episodic. It does not move the characters forward very far. Whereas as Star Trek and then Star Trek Into Darkness, for people have problems with Into Darkness, but for whatever criticisms you want to lay at it, it does move the characters of Spock and Kirk and Bones, all of them, moves them forward. This, there not a whole lot of forward momentum on Kirk. In fact, by the end, he's kind of back where he was at the start of this movie. But it's fun. It's the Enterprise gets trapped in this nebula. It's all been sort of a setup, and they crash land on this planet. And a lot of it's on the planet. There's not a lot of space combat going on. There's enough, but a lot of it is more them on the planet, dealing with the local inhabitants and trying to figure a way off of the rock they're on.
Let me ask you,
Yeah.
if you have, all right, I've seen the two new like rebooted ones, okay? I do not remember them.
Okay.
I liked them. Like I remember like not liking the second one as much, all right? But like let's say I have zero memory, or let's say you're a person who has not seen the previous two.
Right.
Can you watch this one
Yes.
and be okay?
Totally. Do
Yeah.
you know what Star Trek is? Like, you
Yeah, I
understand the
mean,
concept of like
kind of.
Captain Kirk, Spock. Like, you under like they run a
They run a
giant
ship.
ship. Yeah,
Yeah.
they run a ship and they go on adventures. That's what this
Exactly.
is. They go they
Okay.
run a ship, they go on adventures. The ship blows up, as it does in like 60% of the movies, and bad shit happens to them, and they have to find a way out of it. So yeah, you don't necessarily need to know what happened in the last two.
Good. Because, I mean, I like those, but I don't want to have to, like, go, okay, I need to watch, whatever the last two were called, and then watch this to understand. I mean,
Yeah, I
that's.
mean, did you like Simon Pegg's version of Scotty?
I. Sure. It's the thing is, like, I know I watched them both, and I was
Well,
sober, but I'm just like.
he's not a big part in the other two. He
Yeah.
plays a much bigger role in this. It's kind of the Scotty movie,
Well, he
which
wrote
makes
it, so.
sense. I mean, Simon Pegg
Yeah.
did he co-wrote it, and it's still Chris Pine's. He's still the lead here, but Simon Pegg definitely has more to do than like John Cho or Anton Yelchin or even like Carl Urban and Zachary Quinto, who are Kirk's number one and number two. There's a lot of Simon Pegg here. So if you like his version of Scotty, this old there's a lot more of him.
I one thing that I heard about it, and I could see this being true based on like clips I've seen, is that Idris Elba as the villain is kind of underwritten or like doesn't really have much of a motivation.
Oh, he has motivation.
He does.
You don't really realize what that motivation is until like it's kind of like the they pull that shit out of their ass. Like, I'm trying to think of what the term for it is, but it's like oh that's why he's doing this. Like, the entire movie you're like, what, why is this guy like trying to destroy the Federation?
Oh,
And
withholding essential information, that's what I call
yeah, I mean,
it.
so like you're very like for much of the film, like you're kind of like, why is Krall, who's Idris Elba, why is he doing this? Like, what's the point? How does he even know about the Federation? Like, because he kind of looks like this alien creature, and there's a very convenient reason for why and how he ends up that way. And yeah, so I could see people being like, oh, all right, like that's a little ridiculous, but it's mostly about Kirk, Spock, McCoy, their adventures on this planet. The villain is just kind of secondary to all of that.
I did listen to Slash Filmcast review of this, and they said that they tried to draw parallels between the kind of the plot of this and our current political atmosphere. Did you feel any of that or no?
Maybe
Yeah.
like very
It seemed
like
to be stretching a little bit, I thought. I mean, I
yeah
haven't
like
seen it.
very very cursory like in fact you know what no there's no like so Crawl happens and I'm just gonna kind of like spoil this here he happens to be like an ex-captain kind of like Kirk that crash landed on this planet hundreds of years ago, and somehow he's found a way to sustain himself, and that's morphed him into this alien kind of looking creature. And he blames the Federation for, because he was a soldier before the Federation formed, and he blames the Federation for not having a backbone, not caring about the soldiers and what they're.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch, I'd say. I mean, I don't know. I don't really see the parallel, but
Like, there's, I don't know that I'd have to listen to them and see what they're saying and to see, but there's
well,
definitely
they're both, Donald Trump and him, they're both bad people. There you go.
I guess, I mean, maybe like if you want to draw that comparison, yeah, like Crawl is trying to rip down everything and maybe so is Trump. So, I guess.
I would compare Trump more to the Joker, but actually, he's not smart enough to be the Joker. But anyways, go
Before we
ahead.
move off of this, so John Cho plays Sulu, who most people probably know George Takei played originally.
Oh yeah, I heard that
And
controversy about it.
I don't think it's contra. I thought it was a nice toss to honor George Takei. Like George Takei is gay.
Yeah.
They don't really touch a whole lot on it. It's not even mentioned, but it is heavily implied that Sulu is gay. He meets another man who has what seems to be his son with him, but they never like say like this is my husband, this is my boyfriend, and
Yeah.
it's just there. And I was like, you know what? That's nice. Like, you know, George.
Takai did not think that though. Did you hear about that?
Oh, I didn't hear what
No?
he.
All right, that was the thing, is he was unhappy that they did that.
Really?
Yeah, because in his mind he had built the character a certain way and he didn't want them, like, in his mind he had portrayed the character as a straight man, and so he did not want, was it Sulu, you said his
Yes,
name?
Sulu.
He did not want Sulu to be gay in it. Like, so he was upset about it, but like everyone else was like, "We're doing this for you, man." You know,
Yeah,
it's kind
like
of a weird
that's
thing.
kind of how I took it. Like, I didn't know
Yeah,
about his objection to it before that, but.
I was surprised that that was his take on it, honestly. But when you think about it, I could kind of see what he's saying. Is like, I worked for years to make
Yeah,
this character what he
just
was.
was my character, and now, like, I understand what you're doing, but that's not what. Like, maybe they should have gone to him first and been like, hey, we'd like to honor you by making Sulu you. Like.
I think that they did, and he
Oh,
told him no.
still told them no, and then
Yeah.
still did. Well, maybe that's a little shitty.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, me as a neutral third party goes, that's a nice thing they did. You know,
Yeah, that's how I took it.
even if he said no, it's like, seems kind of ridiculous. But I mean,
Because
I
at the
get
end
where
of it, it's gonna like people are gonna go back, and at some point, George Takei is gonna be dead, and people will be able to go back and like that's the thing about art and film, it stays like it doesn't go anywhere, and people will be able to go back and look at the original kind of TV show and then the original movies, and then they'll be able to look at these reboot movies and be like, hey, like, and George Takei was gay, and like Sulu was too.
yeah, and you know, back in the day, like, they couldn't really get away with that on television or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
I liked it. I'm gonna go 4 stars on it. I thought it was quite a bit of fun. It's long. I think it's about 2 hours and 15 minutes long. Yeah, I enjoyed my entire time with it there. So,
I look forward to seeing it on DVD, despite the fact that I know the ending. Like, I know how they defeat the bad guy or whatever. I
Well,
listen to too many podcasts, goddammit.
and it's kind of a sight to behold. Like,
I can imagine.
they do some really great things. Like, and that's something I like about these new Star Trek movies is that they've taken what you've always kind of wanted from them. Like, but they never had the technology to do it before. Now they are, and it's like, this is cool. Like,
Yeah, I you should listen to Slash Webcast's review of it, because they like kind of a kind of argument about the ending, which is interesting, but I don't want to get into
oh,
it
and
because
there's a great throwback. So, do you remember the original reboot? Like,
no.
you know, you don't really watch it, but you remember there was the
Yeah,
original.
yes.
And, like, the trailers for that and everything used Beastie Boys' Sabotage.
Yeah. This one
And
did too.
yes, there is a tie back to that. And actually, there's like a cute little line that Chris Pine throws out when the music kicks in, because the music is actually in the movie. But they're all kind of talking about it. It's like, is this classical music? But Chris Pine like looks back, because like remembering back to the beginning of when he took over, like his start with this was he stole his stepfather's car, and this music was playing as he was driving away from the cops.
Okay, all right,
And
all
they
right.
throw
I
that
can.
in, and he looks back. He's like, that's a good choice.
Dang it. Now I feel like I need to rewatch these. Anyways,
They're
all right, so yeah.
not great, but they're fun.
I think, I remember the first reboot one, like really enjoying it, and I'd never been to Star Trek before, so as much as people might want to hate on these, like the Trekkies want to hate on, like they're drawing people like you and me in, so
Yeah.
got a couple recent to video releases to talk about before we wrap this up. First up is one that we both saw called Triple Nine,
Yes.
and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this because I really enjoyed it.
That is why I watched it.
Okay. All right. Like, come on, Chris. Bring it on. What do you got for me?
I did not love it as much as you. You compared it to The Town, which I could see the I could definitely see the
Didn't get that
comparison.
vibe?
There is that. I don't think it's to that quality.
I mean, but at the same time, it's nowhere near, like, dude, it sits at like a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes with 44% audience. And the only way I could figure that is that the movie is so relentlessly grim that it turned people off. That's so.
It is pretty grim.
It's very grim.
But that's like I don't know. There were things about The Town that like it explores the characters a whole lot more. I don't really feel outside of like Chris maybe, who is the he's the cop.
The good
The good
cop.
good
The
cop,
only,
yes.
actually, the only probably good person in the whole movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you have
Casey Affleck.
there's one other good cop. Like, this is the type of the movie this is. Woody Harrelson plays a good cop in this, I guess you could say.
Sure.
And he's in the backs of a car doing fucking heroin or coke or whatever with a fucking junkie. Like,
Yeah.
that's the world. That's the world that we're in this movie, is that even the good guy is fucking snorting coke and drinking himself to sleep every night, and that's like one of the good guys. So the bad guys, I mean, it's just a very dark world that we're in Triple Nine.
Yes.
I guess I'll give a little like kind of synopsis. It's basically there's a bunch of crooked cops, and they're kind of on the hook with these Russian mobsters. The movie starts with a bank robbery, which they're doing for them. They're supposed to get paid for it, and they're supposed to be like cut loose from the mob. The mob says, no, we need you to do one more job because otherwise we're going to kill everybody. So they have to do one more job, which is to like a heist job, some files from Homeland Security. That's what we're dealing with here. These cops are dirty as fuck. They make like Vic Mackey and Shane look good almost. Like,
Yeah.
so bad. Like, you have Anthony Mackey, like, he's so cold and heartless in it. Like, actually, no, like,
He's not.
I think he did have a heart at the end. But I'm sitting there watching, like, as we're watching, I don't want to spoil it, but as we're watching things develop, I'm going, oh, Anthony Mackey, like, he's gonna not be able to go through with what he's gonna do. And I think it's the point, like, he was kind of still going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I left one part out, and this is all in the, like, if you look at the trailers or any synopsis, you know, I'm not really spoiling anything. They plan to accomplish this heist by having a cop murdered on the other side of town. So all the entire precinct and all the cops from Atlanta are going one way while they're going the other
Right,
towards.
which is the namesake of this movie, evidently. The call for a
Yeah.
officer down is 999.
Yeah, so that's not really a spoiler. That's just kind of the setup. I mean, the movie takes a while to get to that, but that's what it is. There's not really any good guys or people to root for. And but like, dude, it's got a great cast. It's got
Oh, the cast is fantastic.
It's got fantastic action scenes. Like that I mean, you start with that, like that opening bank robbery was as good as the Dark Knight's opening bank robbery. I mean,
Yeah,
just
it's real like that open, and it had my eyes there for a little bit, 'cause it's like, all right, this is cool. Like it's the systematic takedown of this bank, and then you have like Norman Reedus as their lookout, and like so much is going on. It's so well planned, it's so well put together. It's like very engaging right from that start.
we got to run down this cast real quick.
Yeah.
Chiwetel, I can't say this guy's name for the life of me, but he's been in tons of shit. Casey Affleck, Anthony Mackie, Woody Harrelson, Aaron Paul, Kate Winslet, Gal Gadot, Norman Reedus. I mean, Clifton Collins Jr., who I always really like. He was like the super dirty cop,
Yeah.
Rodriguez. Fantastic cast, fantastic action sequences. It's a really hardcore dirty cop movie for people who love hardcore like action cop shit. Like it's not gonna cater to someone who wants to see a good drama or anything. Like this is a gritty, dirty cop movie, and it doesn't apologize for it. Like it doesn't have anything more to say beyond that, and I'm fine with that. Like I can see where you're coming from saying like The Town is a better movie. Like, and it has a little more depth and care about the characters a little more, but like, I was engrossed in what was happening in this from start to
Yeah,
finish.
I
Really
think that
enjoyed
the
it.
performances are certainly strong enough. And the main premise, the main heist is interesting enough that I think it's certainly watchable. Like I just as like as kind of mentioned, like I just there was I didn't care about anybody in this movie. Like even Casey Affleck's Chris Allen, it's like there's no
He's
real
still
reason to
gritty.
But there's no real reason to even root for him. Like it's like I just don't like I kind of liked Woody Harrelson, but like, he's kind of all over the place. It's like I don't like any of you people.
Yeah, like he verges on his character from Rampart at parts where he's like kind of dirty too, but like, but you get, and I just, I don't know. I really liked a lot of things about it. Like when he starts to figure out what's going on and he's kind of one step ahead of everyone else, he's like, does anyone feel like something big's about to happen here?
Yeah,
Like, I just love that scene. Like,
that was a good scene. It's like he just starts yelling at them. They're like,
yeah.
because like his bosses are all like, not his bosses, his underlings are all like, well, yeah, boss. He's like, well, then fucking get me some information other than we don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I was thoroughly entertained by it, despite, you know, how dark it is. And I like kind of enjoyed how dark it was. I could see people saying like, yeah, there's no one liking it, and I could definitely see there's people that like this movie's just way too grim and gritty and nobody likable in it for some people. But if you want like a hardcore fucking balls to the wall like dirty cops movie, like I can't remember one like this like in forever. So I really enjoyed it. I go 4 stars on it, and it's a strong, like, you need to go rent this if you're into that. If you're not into that, you can safely avoid it.
I'm gonna go 3. I found it worth watching, but I definitely did not come away from it as in love with it as you. In fact, like I really like Norman Reedus' character, and unfortunately, he is like off
Not in it
really
much.
early on. And Casey Affleck is really good in it. Actually, everyone's really good in it, but I just wish there may have been a little more depth to it, like a little more reasoning behind it, other than. Like for the bad cops, it was, money, but It's like, why are these other ones kind of locked in with, you know, she would tell, I.
They did something bad prior, you know, they're dirty from, you know, they were dirty. It's like the shield. They got so deep in with these fucking people that they got to keep doing what they got to do to get out of it. By the way, you have Kate Winslet playing the Russian mob boss.
Until, like, I looked at the IMDb page, because I did not check, I did not watch the credits on this movie. I didn't even realize it was Kate Winslet.
Neither did my girlfriend. I told her that it was her actor. She's like, "What?" Like, yeah, dude. Like, she's chewing up scenery in it, playing a character she's never really kind of played before. I don't know, dude. I really enjoyed it. I would totally watch it again. I won't go out and buy it, but I thought it was badass, like badass dirty cop movie.
Sure.
One more thing before we go, and this is a movie called Midnight Special, which probably deserves a deeper conversation. I think that you should see this, Chris. Thrown out right off the top.
No, it's a Michael Shannon special.
Yeah, Michael Shannon and
Know you
Jeff
love your Michael
Nichols.
Shannon.
Yeah, well, of course. And Jeff Nichols, writer director of Take Shelter, also starring Michael Shannon, and I believe we reviewed years ago on
We
this
did,
show.
yeah.
Yeah, and so do you remember that movie?
I do.
Okay.
It's the one where he's kind of crazy, but maybe not crazy, and
Is he crazy? Yeah. Did you like that movie?
it's cool.
Okay. This is like, I would say, way better. It's
Okay.
an awesome movie, but kind of in the same vein where it's like a strange, like strange things are happening, kind of a strange sci-fi movie that feels very like original and kind of artsy. In this movie, Michael Shannon plays a dad who is on the run with his son. And because his son has special powers, and the government and a religious cult are after his son because of it, okay? And it starts off right off the bat with them on the run, and it kind of dives back into the past for you to figure out why this, like, why people are after them. He has Joel Edgerton along with him as like this, I think he was like a sheriff or something, who came with him just to help because he believes in what they're doing. Because they believe that their son has these special powers, and whatever it is more important than whatever the government or this religious cult wants to use it for, use his son for. I don't really want to say much more than that. Like, it's a really good movie, man. Like, you saw Stranger Things recently. It's got shades of that in it a little bit.
Okay.
And
I
just
did like that.
and like let's say Stranger Things meets Take Shelter, kind of a cross between those a little bit. Just really unique, I think, awesome sci-fi movie. I really love the ending to it and love the whole like reveal of what this kid's power is, and I just loved everything about it. Like, had just it's beautifully shot, beautiful like action kind of sequences in it. Although it's not action heavy, but there's beautiful action, like kind of chase sequences and stuff in it. Just really, like, I really am starting to enjoy what Jeff Nichols is doing. Like, he has done, I think, as far as I know, three movies: Take Shelter, Mud, and Midnight Special. And I have not seen Mud, but actually, Mud is one of my girlfriend's favorite movies of the last couple of years.
I should see that too. Like
It was on Netflix.
I really like Matthew McConaughey, and everyone keeps telling me I should see it, but I just have not.
She loves the movie. She's been trying to
Okay.
force me to see it for like the last year, and I have not seen it yet. But I should, because I actually, after we watched Midnight Special, I went back and showed her Take Shelter. Like, I rented it from Netflix and showed it to her. And Take Shelter holds up pretty well. Like I just love the idea of that movie, and I just love the ending to it. The
Yeah,
only
that
thing that,
ending is great.
yeah, it's cool, right? Like, and I think the ending here is like even cooler almost. I think this movie, like Take Shelter is a very slow burn, right? This movie's like got action, and it's got stuff like mixed in with that, right? Like, it's never got a slow dull pace like Take Shelter. But I will say that, like, just like Take Shelter, like for some people the end of Take Shelter is not gonna be enough, right? Like, they're gonna be like, oh well, what happens next? Or, you know, that's the ending, like what the fuck. I think some people will feel that way about Midnight Special. But I love the ending, dude. It's up for debate, I guess. Like, the ending of this I thought was fantastic. It like kind of blew my mind. Like, I was just really in love with this movie. Like, I want to show it to people. So you need to see it, Chris. Midnight Special, you need to, like, put that at the top of your list.
Got it. Will do.
And it's a 5 stars.
All right.
So that's it for this week. We're making no promises for next week, except that we are doing our best of the year so far. So I have no plans to see anything big in between.
I may see Jason Bourne. It is not getting great reviews.
Yeah, someone at work talked to me about that. I was like, well, dude, I mean, you know what you're getting, kind of, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but those other, I mean, those the first three, and I am not a huge fan of the second two Jason Bourne movies, but those other ones like got really well reviewed. So I was kind of like, all right, they brought back Paul Greengrass, they brought back Matt Damon because they did that weird fourth offshoot and that didn't have either one of them
Yeah,
dealing with
Ghost
this.
Runner.
Yeah, this is, which I thought that was a okay film. But we'll see. So yeah, the Bourne Ultimatum, which was the last one,
I
has
just feel like you know what
93%.
I feel like you know what you're gonna get, and maybe a lot of movies are kind of copied off those movies since, but like, I don't know, if you're a fan of the series, just be happy they made a new one, maybe? I don't know.
Sure. And I mean, anytime I can see Julia Stiles in a role, because she does not get a whole lot anymore, so.
That's true. Which is weird because she's good, I think. Like, anyways, I'm gonna end the show by saying go see all four of these movies we talked about tonight. I think they're all fun, and Midnight Special is actually, in my opinion, very special. I think you're gonna be hearing about it next week.
All right.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.